Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Just Capital is a nonprofit that tracks which companies are a force for good. Companies like Bank of America, which just earned the Just Capital seal. Bank of America is ranked number one for ongoing commitment to their workers with initiatives like Sharing Success, which awarded 97% of their teammates additional compensation, nearly all in stock. This is the program's seventh consecutive year awarding more than $4.8 billion in total. Visit JustCapital.com to learn how a just business is a better business.
Furnished by Just Capital.
Damn it, front three! Bang! Somebody tell him he's a rookie.
And welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of Believe in Clippers here on the Believe Podcast Network. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker back with you for another edition as we are on the doorstep of regular season basketball. We've got actual basketball that's already taken place. So, Alex, we're here and it's going. We're ready to go.
It's going. Yes, it is, for sure. I'm excited, man. Saw some great things in the game. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen next, you know. Clippers look good.
Yeah, I mean, no reason to waste any time. The Clippers were in action in their first scrimmage. They took on the Orlando Magic. Of course, they're still missing a couple of people. We'll get to that, a little bit later in the show as well. But yeah, like you said, from what we saw, for that amount of time off and it being the first game action versus any other team, it was a really encouraging effort from the Clippers. I thought, you know, despite a few things in the beginning looking a little slow, a little rusty, I thought they looked really good overall.
Yeah, for sure. A game like this, you know, you never know what the outcome's going to be, how the guys are going to be playing and stuff like that. But, you know, a 90 to 95 or 99 point game.
Yeah, 99, 90.
You know what I mean? That's a normal game for sure. We used to seeing the Clippers score 120, you know, with the deep bench they have and the caliber of players they have. But you know what I mean? For overall aspect, guys looked good, man. Paul George looked good. It looked like he didn't lose a beat. Attacking the rim, you know. Williams is looks fierce, you know what I mean, attacking the rim for sure. And I seen him going right a lot, so that's even dangerous, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's got at this point so many people kind of anticipating him going left because that's really, you know, his forte. But, yeah, if he can switch it up and take him right every now and again, then it's just another trick in the bag for one of the best scorers in the game.
Exactly. It's more detrimental for opponents for sure.
Yeah, and like you said, 99 points, but it was only 10-minute quarter. So, you know, you extrapolate that, it's probably closer to 120, like you said. So they're right on pace for what we normally see from them.
Yeah, for sure. To go all the way back, I got to give it up to the NBA organization for doing a hell of a job. You know what I mean? The effect looked at awesome. You know, it looked like the awesome NBA Summer League. You know, without the fans, but it looked really good though. You know what I mean? Basketball is definitely back, and it was a joy to watch for sure.
Yeah, I give them a lot of credit as well, and I think we're going to see more things. The NBA just announced, and we saw it, I think, in the Miami Heat scrimmage, basically that giant video board behind the benches. We're going to start seeing some, you know, fan interactions over video, so we'll get kind of a crowd-ish feel for, you know, over these screens and the sound of that. I think they're going to keep adding to that as regular play goes on, and that'll be interesting to see. It'll be a little, you know, sci-fi-y, but it's going to work and bring a whole nother element to things.
Some futuristic type stuff, yeah. And like we were saying before, we've seen the guys, you know, cussing a lot. I don't know too much about the Clippers game, but a lot of guys, I'm hearing Ball Don't Lie, you know what I mean, from a lot of the teams and stuff like that, and Miami Heat. And it was just great, you know what I mean, to get that full effect of the game, you know, from that standpoint.
Yeah, and one of the things, you mentioned it already, but not that it's a huge surprise, but just seeing Paul George look so spry and so good. I think out of all the players who probably benefited most from this off time was Paul George, because of course he had the two shoulder surgeries he was recovering from, of course had some hamstring and leg issues during the year. He still put up great numbers in the regular season, but I think the ability for him to get his body back to full strength was huge, and we kind of saw early dividends of that as he looked really spry, really healthy, and, you know, was putting on a show out there.
No, for sure, yeah. This was big for a lot of guys, especially for the Clippers organization and the fans. I mean, and the players, because a lot of guys were injured. You know what I mean? We had the rookie injured. We had Paul George injured. Little knick-knack injuries, you know what I mean, that could have been set back during the course of this time. And this helped them a lot, you know, recover from this standpoint and get healthy as much as possible and take care of those little, you know, licking wounds for sure. So, yeah, Paul George, man, he came out a monster. I was really surprised the way he played. You got to understand, too, not playing 5-on-5, one-on-one, you know what I mean, or 2-on-2 or any kind of basketball with contact for that long, for 4 to 3 months, it's pretty impossible to come on the court and compete at a high level like this, you know what I mean? And yeah, he was a jewel, you know what I mean? He looked like he haven't missed a beat for sure. And it showed, you know, even though a lot of guys were rusty and weren't knocking down shots they were normally taking. But at the most part, Paul George was confident, pull back, step back threes, you know what I mean? It was just impressive to see that, you know what I mean? Just to see how much work he put into, you know, not being lazy during these four months for sure. And it paid off.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, because basketball shape and being in really good shape can be completely different things. And Lou Williams talked about that he is, you know, he'd been running like crazy during these 4 months, and he obviously had a great game as well and looked extremely bouncy and healthy as well. But he was saying even for himself, after all that running, it's still a completely different thing, and he felt a little winded out there at first and kind of pushed through it. But it's going to be an adjustment, I think, through the first couple weeks for these guys to get back in that full basketball shape after, like you said, not playing 5-on-5 for so long.
Most definitely. I think Jordan said it first, is his trainer, his Tom Gergovich. He was like, when Jordan transitioned over to playing baseball, he was like, man, we got to train your body how to do something totally different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it goes to show of, like, if you're not playing the game, it's a huge setback, you know. And I think that these guys are not touching the ball and sitting down and being lazy and stuff like that. It shows who was working on their game, you know what I mean, during this stint. And it was definitely Paul George for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's so funny how perception can change from just a couple of months to another. But, you know, Paul George, in his last year in Oklahoma City, last year before coming to the Clippers, was an MVP candidate, you know, had one of the best seasons of anyone in the league. And then, you know, a couple months later, coming back from injuries, all of a sudden feels like he's a little underrated. And I know some of his playoff performances tie into that. But even looking at his playoff stats, he's had three different playoffs where he's averaged 27, 28 points per game. So that stuff might be a little overblown as well. But it just shows how, you know, how big a contributor he can be and how much of a factor he'll be for them, you know, when they get into playoff games down the stretch.
Yeah, for sure. I think the caliber of player he is nonetheless a clutch player. You know what I mean? There's a select few of these guys that you can name in the NBA that are clutch players. And they actually have two players like that, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. You know what I mean? So it's going to be difficult for any team to collapse on one player if you got somebody that's shooting the ball at a high level like Paul George and that's attacking the rim at the same time as well, like Kawhi Leonard and stuff. And, you know, Kawhi's still getting back to his, you know, his game shape as far as like everybody else, but he's going to catch up to speed as well too. It was just a scrimmage, you know what I mean, guys? So it's going to be more basketball to come. I know for a fact these guys aren't pushing themselves to the limit extremely. It's kind of hard, like, again, being off that long and trying to go full speed. You don't want to tear nothing or injure anything like that. And I like the way that the coach played these guys, you know, with little minutes, even though it was the 10-minute quarter and stuff like that. But he made sure everybody got that feel and they got their legs underneath them, and getting them close to, you know, game shape as best as possible in the rhythm.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, you know, as it went as well as it possibly could have in that first scrimmage. We'll see. They've got a couple more coming up in the next week until the season gets restarted. And really, right now, you know, it's a testament to the team's depth because they still have so much talent on the roster. But right now, it's just about, you know, who's going to be available for the Clippers. They've had probably the most, you know, turnover out of any team in this bubble with, you know, a couple of family emergencies for, you know, Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley. Lou Williams had to leave the bubble. He will return soon as well. We know Zubats is not there, but he should be coming any day now. And same with Landry Shamet. So that's, you know, five key guys who are not there, you know, leading into the regular season. So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, first things first, that everything is okay with their families and that they can, you know, get over that in this time. And then, of course, secondly, getting back to the team and contributing like we know all of these guys can, because these are, you know, not insignificant pieces, big players for this Clippers team and their quest for a championship.
True. I didn't know Lou Williams just left. What happened to him?
Yeah, his grandfather, I believe, passed away. So he had an excused absence. Yeah, it's kind of when it rains, it pours thing. Obviously, Montrezl Harrell with his grandmother, Patrick Beverley with a very close friend of his, and now Lou Williams. So, you know, all three of them right at the same time, expected to be back soon. But, you know, as it goes in this bubble, they're going to have to kind of go through that, you know, 2 to 4 day quarantine to make sure they're fully healthy before they can get back with the team and on the court.
That's true. It's a lot of pressure and a lot of weight on your shoulders, and, you know, grieving is really hard to manage, and, you know, the time that you have to spend with the family, then you got to get back to your, you know, playing with the guys and stuff like that. So much respect to those guys that's actually doing that stuff, man. It's hard to maintain different lifestyles of your own personal life and being a showman of you know, an entertainer in that realm as well too. So much respect to those guys.
Yeah, of course, taking care of what they need to with their families. And it just shows, like we've talked about in previous episodes, that, you know, this bubble scenario is going to be tough because these guys have, as you said, families and a lot of things going on. And we've seen, not just with the Clippers, but with other players and other teams around the league, you know, having to take themselves out of the bubble for a temporary time to go take care of family issues. It's going to be a tough challenge for a lot of these guys over these next couple of months to try to navigate those things.
Yeah, definitely, man. What'd you think about the bench? How they spaced everything out and stuff like that?
You know, I think it's cool. Obviously, it's, you know, when they're on the court, you're going to be in close contact with people. But I guess any other precaution that you can take, you know, they're spaced out a little bit, but they're still, you know, sitting within close enough proximity where players can have conversations or, you know, huddle up if they need to. But I think, you know, like you said earlier, the NBA has done such a good job of kind of thinking about every possible thing to do with, you know, keeping players safe, keeping the staff safe, keeping everyone, you know, as safe as they can. So I think the fact that we saw it last week with the zero positive tests, the NBA has done a tremendous job. So I think it's just another example of them just trying to do everything they can to make sure this thing works.
Yeah, definitely. I think so too. They're doing a hell of a job, you know, with the cards that's dealt for them. They're doing an amazing job for sure.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, obviously in the arena, it's going to be a little weird for these guys, but as we said, kind of leading up to this thing, well, we were confident that the product would look good. And like you said, with the setup of the court and the screens and everything, and the TV broadcast going to be high production, I think there's really no drop off from watching it on TV outside of it just looking a little different without fans. But I think it's, you know, I think it's going to play out really well on TV, and we're going to have our normal looking basketball. It's going to be fun.
Let's go, man. I've actually, besides the Clippers, though, I watched a lot of games, though, that came on out here. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch the Clippers' actual full game. I had to watch the bits and pieces, actually, the made baskets, because I'm out here in Italy.
Yeah.
But I got a chance as much as possible to watch the game through streaming and stuff like that. So it was pretty awesome to see the pace and stuff. But a lot of these games that I have been able to watch, they showcase Brooklyn and of course the Lakers, which is the fan favorite out here. It's pretty interesting how these guys are competing at this level. You know what I mean? It's pretty dope. LeBron's looking pretty nice. Not to talk about the Lakers by any means. It's a Clipper podcast, but these guys are monsters right now. They're coming. You know, the Greek Freak is looking pretty good too. So this thing's actually helped a lot of people. I see a lot of players in this bubble for sure.
And it's funny too, because it probably, I mean, it helps everyone, like you said, in terms of just their health and getting their bodies right. But you think of the teams who could probably have used that break the most. And, you know, as you said, Giannis, obviously one of the best players, he was able to keep himself in good shape and ready. LeBron, you know, still always a powerful force and one of the best, but getting up there in age. So this rest probably helped him a little bit.
And then, was needed, yeah.
And then, of course, we talked about Paul George and his health and Kawhi, who had to deal with the load management. It probably helps all three of the best teams and their best players as much as anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is going to be a race to the finish line for sure. Close game proximity, and it's going to be a lot of fast-paced movement for sure, because these guys, they like gazelles out there right now running. Like, they're excited to be on that court. I know I'll be excited to just get back to hooping and fresh legs, you know what I mean, jumping out the gym and all kinds of stuff like that. So we're gonna see a lot of great plays. Guys are playing actually defense right now in the NBA, which is amazing. And for the most part, guys that really haven't got a chance to play, they might get, you know, a little bit more minutes, you know what I mean, playing wise, and get some confidence underneath their skin as well, you know, during the circumstances of no fans and stuff like that, without the pressure. And looking forward to, you know, who's going to actually be an all-star or a sleeper out of this whole bubble situation.
What's the number one sign of a bad home security system? A home security system that's so complicated you never use it. That's exactly the type of system SimpliSafe has spent a decade fighting against. SimpliSafe is designed to be easy to use while protecting your whole home 24/7. Order online, open the box, place the sensors, plug it in, and your home is protected around the clock. It's that simple. Head to simplisafe.com/team and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/team. It feels good to fear less. And it was really cool seeing, you know, we talked about the Clippers game a little bit, but just seeing, not that it's a huge surprise, but to your point about players, you know, looking spry, looking healthy, I thought Lou Williams looked as, you know, fast and, you know, quick as we've ever seen him. He was blown by people on pretty much every possession. And, you know, not that he needs any more help being a great scorer, because he's always been that, but he looked like he had his A game going.
You know you fast as hell when you're not even making a move. You're just actually literally going by people. You're not crossing over or nothing. You're just getting the ball and just going.
Yeah, so, just first step and you're gone.
Yeah, and like you said, Lou Williams is running a lot. It definitely showed he was running. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was a lightning bolt. And once again, he was going right. I was watching him. He was going right a lot, going by people. You know what I mean? And definitely getting to, you know, the free throw line. That's his forte, expertise for sure. So he's gonna be a killer, man, in this bubble.
Yeah, and I know we've talked about in the past few weeks, Joakim Noah. We know he got the start. He played pretty well. 4 points, 5 rebounds, right. 3 assists. What do you think of Joakim Noah and his time on the court?
That's right, Joakim Noah. He surprised me. He had some hands. He was catching some basketballs. He was actually making good reads off the pick and roll at the top, finding the shooters in the corner. He was pretty interesting. It looked like he belonged there for sure. Yeah, has to go off to Joakim Noah. You know what I mean? He stayed ready this whole time, and he's been working out with a lot of great trainers as well too. So it paid off. I think they knew what they were getting out of him, and they definitely did their due diligence, making sure that he was ready. And they threw him in the fire, and he prevailed. Though he was ready.
Yeah, he looked good. And obviously, like we've said, I don't think his role is going to be huge, but just showing that, you know, he can be ready at the drop of a hat and be ready to contribute, you know, whenever his number is called upon. I think that's just another positive for this team. And like you were saying, exactly, in the pick and roll read situations, you know, Joakim Noah in his prime was always a great passer, and we saw, you know, that skill is still there, and he did a great job of kind of making the right decision in the middle of the floor whenever he got the basketball.
Yeah, he doesn't do too much at all. He knows what he can do, and he knows what he can't do, and that's the experience of Joakim Noah and the veteran that he is. Is less as possible putting it on the floor, catching it underneath the rim, finishing. If he doesn't have nothing, he knows who's helping and where the weak side help is coming from, so he's able to make those passes and those reads to those guards in the corner and finding them for wide open shots. And you know, if you're getting wide open shots, you can't beat that in a basketball game. You know what I mean? You'll take that any day. So he's really good at that. So he's like pretty much like a coach player in an aspect, you know, on the court.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we get closer to the season, you know, we're gonna do another podcast, you know, probably before the first game next Thursday. We'll probably get it up on that Thursday morning. But leading up to that, right now, we know they have a couple more scrimmages. What do you think the Clippers have kind of locked down as things they do well, and is there anything that concerns you about what they have going right now going into the regular season or closing out the regular season as we get to, you know, get close to it?
Man, you know, it's kind of hard to say for the first game. I would be just happy that the guys finished the game strong, and they were healthy and getting that love and energy back. I think the first game, the first scrimmage was just up in the air. Let's just go have fun and play ball, and we'll figure it out while we're playing at that standpoint, you know, what works, what doesn't. I think for the most part, they have a great depth of players that they can play, you know what I mean? So they won't be missing a beat from starting Joakim Noah or whoever else that needs to be coming in to starting for the center spot. They know Joakim Noah is going to be ready to play. 5 or 10 minutes or whatever minutes they play, which is huge for them. The list goes on for these guys. They just got to put the right pieces in at the right time. And I think that comes from the coach's standpoint of who he's going to play at the pivotal moment. You know, you got a lot of guys that can actually finish games at a high level. So making sure they're in the game and making sure they're not bumping heads will probably be the biggest thing that they have on their plate right now. And just the unselfishness of the players that they have. I don't think nobody is selfish on the team. So that's like half, 50% of a win right there for an organization towards getting to a championship game. From that point, man, you got to take one game at a time right now and just enjoy this ride.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that you kind of alluded to it there, but I think this team's greatest strength, obviously, having two of the best players in the world is one of them, but you know, the fact that they're so versatile, and like you said, they can probably have a number of different combinations down the stretch depending on, you know, who they're playing and which matchups are the best. But they can have a, you know, an offense heavy lineup where they have, you know, guys like Lou Williams in there. They can have a defensive heavy lineup where they have, you know, Patrick Beverley in there, along with of course Kawhi and Paul George. So really, I think, like you said, it's kind of the trust in the coaching staff. And we know that Doc Rivers is always one of the better coaches in the league, so I think that trust is in there in that team, and there's really not a lot of selfishness. I think these guys are going to be there to support each other no matter who is, you know, getting those crunch time minutes, as long as, you know, it results in winning for the team.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yep. So we all going to sit back and relax and figure this thing out together, man. I'm rooting for these guys, and everybody, I think Doc Rivers has been there with the Boston Celtics, if I'm not mistaken, right? To the championship, won the championship.
Yeah, he won it back in 2008.
2008, yeah. So everybody has actually been to that spot. Kawhi Leonard's won the chip. Paul George hasn't gotten to the finals. A lot of these guys haven't gotten to the finals. So they're going to need these guys to actually push that envelope up for these guys to get there, you know, and then let them lead that way that's been there for sure. But it goes with the coaching staff. And I just can't wait, man. I'm excited. There's enough talking. We've been to this, trying to get to this point. The Wizards are going to enjoy this game, man, and see what they got for us for sure.
Yeah, and as I said, we can only just hope that, you know, the family situations for the guys that are currently out of the bubble, you know, that everything is well with them and they can come back strong and contribute to the team, because we know, as we've said, of course, we know how important Lou Williams is, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, all the guys that are, you know, going to make their way back or going to have to play a key role if they want to, you know, win the championship as their goal is.
Yeah, it's a huge sacrifice, you know what I mean, to get what you want. It's a huge sacrifice for yourself to give yourself, you know, getting to that chip, man. So much respect to those guys that's, you know, taking on that load with the family and stuff like that. And, you know, all the love and respect goes out to them for sure that's doing that.
Yeah, no question about it. And Alex, before we wrap things up here, we know that the NBA announced that despite there being the 8 final regular season games, the season awards, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, all that, will be voted on basically on everything that's happened through March and not through these final games. So,
what?
So with that said, through these awards, do you mind if we go through them and you give us your picks for who you got?
Wow, it ain't been enough basketball. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's been about, I think Clippers have played 64 games, so. Yeah, it's about 60-ish, 65 games for these guys. So we know for the MVP, for most people, it's between Giannis and LeBron. Who would you have there?
I would have to give it to LeBron. I'm going to be honest with you. If I had to choose out of those two, it's scary, but I would have to give it to LeBron for sure.
Okay.
These guys, yeah.
All right, what about Defensive Player of the Year? Who you got there?
Oh, man. Gee whiz. Who was the candidates for that?
We know. I mean, Giannis was up there again. Rudy Gobert. You know, Patrick Beverley's in that mix.
DeAndre Jordan, he wasn't playing at the time, so he's not in the caliber, huh?
Nah.
Rudy Gobert, I would probably say for sure, yeah.
Yeah, does a great job protecting the rim there in Utah, so
yeah.
Not a bad pick there. What about... let's go Coach of the Year. Who do you like there?
Oh, man. Popovich, I would say, probably.
Okay, and then we got Sixth Man, which is basically the Clipper Award. It's either Lou Will or Montrez. Which one do you go with?
That's definitely Lou Will, man, for sure, man.
Yeah, he's trying to set the record. We know he's got 3 of them. Tied with another former Clipper, Jamal Crawford, who's got 3. So if Lou wins it, he'll have 4 of those awards, and he'd be he'd be on the top of the mountain there.
Let's go. Yeah. Lou Will is definitely my guy for that.
All right, so we'll see what happens with those awards.
Who do you have, though? Hold on. Who for the MVP, who do you got, Jeff?
MVP, I'd probably go with Giannis. I mean, no disrespect to LeBron. He think, you know, There's no question what an incredible player he is and what he's done. I think looking at the stats, Giannis is just so off the charts. And, you know, that Milwaukee team, they have talent, but to get them to have the best record in the league, I think is a real testament to just how good Giannis has been. And, you know, improving his numbers from what was an MVP season last year, I give him a slight nod there. For Defensive Player of the Year, I'd probably go Gobert as well. You know, I think that he's done a tremendous job there. Sixth Man, you know, like I said, I think it's one of the two. I'll give the edge to, I'll say Montrez just to be, you know, a little on the contrary there. But you can't go wrong with Lou or Trez.
No, you can't go wrong. I would love for them to see the both have it, to be honest.
Split it, a little co-winner. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't mind either, shit.
And then Coach of the Year, you know, I'd probably go either Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City for what he's done or Nick Nurse for Toronto, keeping them to be as good as they are when losing Kawhi.
That's
I think any of those guys. And we didn't do Most Improved. I'd probably go, you know, maybe Brandon Ingram in New Orleans for kind of exploding after having some up and down years in L.A. He's done a really nice job in New Orleans, so... I'd probably go with Ingram there.
That's a good one. What do you got for Rookie of the Year, though? That's what.
Oh, that's right. We didn't go Rookie. You know, I love Zion, but I don't think he's played enough games. So I think Ja Morant. I think Ja Morant has been so spectacular that I gotta give it to Ja.
Yeah, Ja Morant. The Thor Williams, he hasn't played a lot for sure, but I would have definitely gave it to him if he has been playing that much for sure. He definitely deserved it. But Morant has been explosive, man. I love his game for sure.
I do too.
Definitely love his game.
He's just incredible to watch.
He's fun to watch.
He's got a flair about his game that is, you can just tell is special. Those are the players when you can see it with the eye test. And in game one, when he steps on the scene, you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be a star. And he has that.
He's going to be a star. He's a dog for sure. Yeah.
All right. So that is going to do it for this episode, Alex. But as you said, next week we'll get a little preview up before Thursday night. But we know we have scrimmages going now, but the actual start of the regular season, Thursday night, Clippers-Lakers, we're back at it.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to definitely be tuned into that game. If I got to pay for sure, I'm going to definitely watch that game. Actually, you know what? They're going to have that game because they're playing the Lakers. They always had the Lakers out here.
All right. You'll get it in Italy. We'll talk about it here, and we'll have that ready for you next week. But as you said, we're here. We're ready to go. Alex, thanks again for calling in from Italy, and we're going to get ready for this season. It's about time.
Okay. Let's get it, Jeff.
And that's going to do it for this week's episode of Believe in Clippers. As always, if you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or find us wherever else podcasts are found. We're there everywhere, including Believe.com, where you can check out this show and hundreds of others on the platform. So with that said, that is going to do it for this week's edition. For Alex Ackerham, Jesse Cass, signing off on the Believe Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network and the only place with a show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.